Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. This is our 9th episode of season 2 for the Arrow episode 3 Ghosts. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
And winter finale, mid-season finale, fall finale, however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes. My friend Steve would say, oh my Lanta. It's better when he says it because he's got the southern drawl. If you don't listen to Geek Out Loud, I think I plugged it last week or the week before.
You did plug it a couple times.
Yeah, if you guys don't listen to Geek Out Loud, you should be listening to Geek Out Loud because Steve is great. But actually, Steve and Derek talk a little bit of Arrow on their last episode. So Arrow fans should be heading over there and giving them some love. And we'll have them on the podcast eventually.
Which will be good, yeah. There's actually a lot of podcasts. I was on a podcast last week, too. I was on Assembly of Geeks talking about Barry Allen. So there's lots of podcasts talking about Arrow right now. It's a very popular thing. So, you know, thanks for tuning into the best Arrow podcast on the internet.
I think we can safely say, crowned by you guys, and officiated by Stephen and Mel, that we're the best Arrow podcast.
Sure. Yeah. I think we call ourselves the best. I was listening to some other Arrow podcasts, and they were calling themselves the best, and I had to scoff and turn it off. I was like, fine, who said you were the best? Anyways, the self-appointed...
Did Stephen and Mel ask who's the best, and then the internet, in one resounding voice, said... Quiver and also Longbow Hunters and
there were
addendums to a lot of them, but more often than not it was I think it was us.
We're really good at self-congratulatory promos at the beginning of our podcast.
Let's just say we are not quite on the eve, but almost on the eve of our interview with Stephen Amell. Everything's set up.
He sent Mike an emoticon.
Yeah, he sent the last email that he sent me had a little smiley face emoticon at the end.
He's basically the coolest person ever to be in contact with. So.
And he's so cool. He's ridiculously cool. You guys will, I'm sure, hear so much more about this. and you'll be getting the interview soon. But I don't remember where I was going with
just that
because it just got wrapped up. But we're so close to it that I think that we
need to be self-congratulatory.
I think that we're allowed to. I think that we have just a little bit of.
You've let us have big egos. I kind of like it. Where I'm like,
well, we said from the beginning we're the best produced, least professional podcast on the internet, and you guys have told us over the course of the last year and a half that we're your favorite Arrow podcast to listen to. So I think it's safe to say with a little bit of, it's more so just thanking
people.
Everybody else
for
making us this. Because there are so many people out there on the internet talking about TV shows and being, I don't know. What are we? Pundits, I guess? We're Arrow pundits.
Yay, talking about shows we love,
But, it doesn't matter. You could be the best. You can have a $10,000 studio setup, you can have a $60 microphone attached to your iPhone. It's not... That really doesn't matter. What matters is building a community, having awesome listeners and followers that when Stephen Amell says, hey guys, what podcast should I go do an interview on, that you guys all rally together and help us out, because we couldn't have done that over a couple of years we could have worn him down and eventually gotten him to come on the podcast. But the reason why we're getting that interview is solely because of the listeners. So
I won't believe it until it actually happens. Like, as much as it's like, let's go. Few days away. I was thinking about this in the car today, about the things that I like the most about, the reasons that I think life exists, or like what we should be doing. And I think one of the best things that you can do is help to create community. That's one of the best things that you can do with your life, and the fact that we get to do this every week. Like, as I'm driving out here, I'm like, it takes me a while to get out to Burnaby in the snow. Vancouver shuts down when it snows, guys. I just want to let you know.
As Stephen and I told you in a video earlier this week, it's freezing here. It's been really cold.
As much as people make fun of Canada, we live on the like, west coast of Canada, yeah. it rains. We do not get snow. It snowed for a day. And it's gone from Vancouver now, but I drive across, you know, the boundary road into Burnaby, and there's snow still on the ground, and I freaked out a little bit. But anyways, I do this every week, and I love it, because I get to talk with you guys, and then you tweet at me, and we have conversations. Yeah. So just... Awesome.
Look, and I've been podcasting for a really long time at this point. I think I can say, I think I can add the really in front of a long time, because it's been about almost 6 years. And I love my listeners over at Frontlines, and I definitely miss them right now, because Clone Wars is over, and that would be really difficult if I didn't have Quiver to carry me through until Rebels starts next fall. And the Star Wars community is awesome, and it's great, and we've been able to do really cool stuff with Frontlines, but everything that we've accomplished over the course of 6 years with Matt and I pales in comparison to what we've managed to do in a year and a half with Quiver. It's ridiculous. The fact that the star of the show, not just someone on the show, but the star of the show... asked us to do an interview is just such a crazy thing, and like I said, it doesn't happen without all of the awesome listeners that we have. So I don't know, like just, you know, I think we're both still, like you said, we're having a hard time grasping what's gonna happen. But give me a slice of humble pie.
On that, I'm going to give you a slice of humble pie now and say one of the things that I love the most about our listeners is when they point out when Mike is wrong.
It doesn't happen often, but when it does, Amanda, and Amanda can verify this, but my wife, Crystal, they just love to rub it in my face, because it doesn't happen very often.
Well,
because
if you can notice, Mike has a tendency to, you know, talk about the awesome things about himself all the time. And we feed off each other, and it's good, and we are self-congratulatory. But then, I don't know, we need to take a few moments to...
If I didn't talk about the awesome things about myself, I wouldn't have very much to say. That's the problem.
Aww.
Be a very short conversation.
No, it's...
I think the listeners agree with me.
That you're awesome?
Okay. I think... I we'll see. They'll respond to this, I'm sure.
Anyways, so I'm going to start with a correction email, which is great. So thank you. If you hear things on the podcast, it's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to write in.
Yeah, tell us when we're horribly wrong.
So I want to thank Robert Clark, who says he's a long-time listener, first time writing in. And I love hearing that, right? Because we only ever hear from the people that write into us. So when we can see that people have actually been listening for a while, it's really cool to be like, oh... We haven't heard your voice yet, but you've
I love ours, getting the emails so cool. that say, I've been listening since the first episode.
Yeah, which is
and
just
it's
cool.
Like, but, like, I'm emailing now, and it's, like, it's halfway through the second season.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you're just emailing in now.
Which is so great.
Which is cool, because it means that you've been listening the whole time. Yeah. We haven't lost you.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. Hi. Anyways, so this is a correction for last week's episode, when we were talking about The Flash and his backstory. So I will just let Robert go. I'm going to dive into the email. The reason I watch Arrow is because I'm a longtime comic book fan. I'm always in support of people getting into characters in any way possible, even if it isn't from the comics, which is why I like the show Arrow, and which is why I like listening to a show like yours, because you two focus on your passion for the stuff without getting bogged down with decades-long confusion that is the comics. Normally, I can accept or ignore whatever comic book-focused mistakes you guys say, but this week you mentioned something that wasn't 100% accurate, and I think that all the listeners out there who are interested in comics and the New 52 in general should know. You pointed out that the New 52 exists because the Reverse Flash went and killed the Flash's mother and changed everything, implying that the Flash's mother was alive before. Actually, the story Barry explains about his mother being dead in the show is pretty close to how his continuity has been in the comics for years now. In Flashpoint, the miniseries leading into the New 52, Barry wakes up in a world where his mother never died, and that changes everything. During the story, we think it was the Reverse Flash that changed things, but it turns out, and this is a spoilers, it was really the Flash who went back and stopped his mom from dying in the first place that changed everything and caused a ripple effect that led to the end of the world. So the New 52 was what happened when Barry went back and fixed his mistake and made it so his mom was dead again. So it's sort of, I mean, we sort of got that, but it's about going back and so he did go back and his mom actually died, so... Sorry for the long email. Hope I was able to write that in a way that sounded polite and not rude. I know comic fans often have a tendency to sound rude when correcting people on continuity facts. That's not what I was going for. I simply wanted to share my love and knowledge of comics. That wasn't rude at all, Robert. No, that was so eloquent and lovely, yeah. And you weren't mean to Mike at all, which, you know, is...
Rude would be to email in and say that we got it wrong and then just leave it at that. Yeah. And be like, I'm never listening to the podcast again because you got it wrong. But I... Be like the interactivity with you guys is one of the things that makes this worth doing.
Yeah.
So when you can email in and correct me on it, like this is the thing is I read Flashpoint, but I read Flashpoint in issues as it was happening, which at this point is now I think almost 2 years ago. So that was a long time ago, and I've never really been a huge Flash fan. So I spotty on his continuity, right? So.
But
so,
it's good. Like, I mean, it's
I had information, but I had it flipped, right? I had it reversed. Exactly. So when you write in and you just clearly tell us, like,
exactly what it is, that
just
happened.
So you know, you said it one way, it's actually the other way. It's like, that's cool. That's awesome. There's nothing rude about that
at all.
Exactly
it's what you're supposed to do because then we can actually be knowledgeable and it's not actually us that's knowledgeable. That's why this podcast is good, because we have people coming in and telling us the information that we're supposed to do and posting on Facebook the news as it comes up, which makes us, we're only as good as our listeners that we have, and therefore it's a cycle. So
70 plus years of DC continuity.
You get
things wrong every once in a while. Superman stuff I get wrong a little bit less. Hopefully.
But so that's, thank you so much, Robert, for writing in.
Jurassic Clark, I think is how he said it. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it's on one of my other.
Oh, is that how it's right over like, here. It's a different.
Yeah, he signs Rob Jurassic Clark, which I think is a great, that's a great nickname.
Funny. All right. So you win kudos points for that awesome name. Yes. And for critiquing Mike. And it's good. The reason I don't get corrected as much is because I'm not as sure of myself. I feel like I need to get some of your assuredness. And I'll say more random things. Actually, I would talk about Doctor Who all the time.
You just need to read some stuff.
I do. I am going to read some stuff. That'll be my winter break.
Okay.
Now that there's a break, everybody can take my lead and we'll go through and read some comics.
And over the break, I highly recommend everybody who hasn't already picked it up, pick up Year One.
Yeah.
Green Arrow Year One. I'll probably post a couple of links on the Facebook group again to where you guys can buy that on Amazon. Or even better than that is to go into your local comic book shop. Even though that doesn't give us any money through our Amazon link, it's awesome to go and support local comic book stores. Although Barnes & Noble and Chapters and Indigo and all those types of stores sell graphic novels.
You should go to the comic shop. Yeah, the comic shop is fun because then you can also buy, like, figures.
Well, and when you walk into the comic book store, and, you know, this is the hard thing about a comic book store, and it's exactly what Rob was talking about, is that when you make a mistake on continuity, comic book nerds can have a tendency to make you feel like you're, you know, about 2 inches tall, and just, like, totally dress you down for it. But not if you're at not if you find the right comic book store.
That's true.
So here in Vancouver, for me, that's Metropolis Comics and Toys, which my friend owns. Actually, you guys will get a peek inside of it soon.
Hopefully.
But, you know, like, finding that comic book store is a really important thing because then you can find that community locally that you can go and you can have the conversations that we're having, right? Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing about having your local comic book store is you go in and you pick up Green Arrow Year One, and I guarantee you a good comic book store, the clerk, the whoever's tending the cash register and rings you up will say, oh yeah, that's great. You know what you should read next? And yes, it's twofold. Like, on one hand, they're evangelists and they want you to read more comic books. One of the reasons why is because they want you to buy stuff in their store. Yeah. But when they're offering such an amazing service as to, like, point you in the right direction and tell you what comics to read next, you should just patronize the crap out of those stores. because that's awesome, right? The worst thing in the world, when you walk into anywhere and you're eager and you want to be a part of something and people just ignore you or just kind of whatever, or don't care, or can't help you, right? But you walk into a good comic book store.
I don't think you're going to have anybody that's not going to be able to help you. Yeah.
You'd be surprised. I think you'd
find a comic book store where people can help you, and then you're good.
Yeah, this is the thing. Don't be put off by the first comic book store that you go into, right? Because they run the gamut. Like, you can walk into some stores and they'll just treat you like a freak, even though, you know, you're in a comic book store. And
I hadn't gone to a lot before, and I just started in the last couple of years, and it's actually just like a really cool thing to just go in and like see what people are looking at. And they have so many things. I, like, discovered all the
things.
Yeah,
well, you can fall down the rabbit hole really quick. Yeah. Spend a lot of money. True. But if it's on stuff that you like, cool. I think we've established that that's okay.
So go have fun and
yes.
create community.
I'm going to read an email more timely about this week's episode.
Because we haven't talked really about this week's episode, right? Let's talk about this week's episode.
From Jonathan Spies? Spies? I don't know. I don't know how to say your last name, Jonathan. And you probably prefer something like John or Johnny, but it says Jonathan, so that's what I'm going to say. And he says, holy references arrowheads, and then in brackets, don't read till watching. Thank you guys so much for those warnings. Although, like, it hits 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And on a Wednesday, I don't read the emails.
Yeah, because
I just ignore them because get home and watch the episode and then and then I read the emails. But Jonathan says, greetings. This episode was really good. Not my favorite episode, but it was solid. Had Solomon Grundy, Deathstroke/Slade, a mask for Oliver, Roy got injected with the serum, and Barry got his powers. I was expecting some reveals this episode, but not this many. I think I'm going to stop expecting the writers to drag out reveals for too many episodes. Having Slade running Blood's operation was a nice touch, and I appreciated that it wasn't Malcolm or Ra's al Ghul. Anyways, keep up the good work, Michael and Amanda. And then he's kind of got a PS. Would be down with buying some Quiver Podcast merchandise. The QP logo would look great as a poster print, a sticker, or on a shirt. And we'll be working on that. That's what Amanda's going to use the break to do some homework and get her DC knowledge beefed up so that heading into the second half of... Well, you know, we started the season with City of Heroes, and it's finally sort of been fulfilled this week. And Jonathan points that out with Solomon Grundy, Deathstroke, Oliver getting his mask, Roy getting the serum. And powers, as we saw in the preview for the second half of the season, and Barry, getting his powers at the end
in the best way possible. Like, what?
Yes. What? I mean, like, we said it last week that we stepped over the threshold. Really, this week we're full on. We are in superhero territory now. It's no longer vigilante stuff. Like he is. He's a Van Dyke away from being the Green Arrow at this point. I think his costume could use a little bit more color, not so dark. Yeah. But I think after this week's episode, I think that we might be actually heading in that direction.
Yeah,
because his conversation with Shadow kind of leans towards that. But before we jump into the episode proper, we do have a piece of news that.
It bothered me because you sort of went on a tangent there. You said, I'm going to brush up on my DC knowledge and you're going to take the break to work on
I'm going to do all the merchandise and stuff. So you guys will have that stuff sometime in January.
Hopefully in the new year.
At the latest. Yeah. To start buying all of your awesome...
We need more Quiver merch or more Arrow merch in general as well. Like, that's if anybody has something really cool that they've got that they're like, this is my Green Arrow Pride thing that's like not... I'm not super... Like, I don't need like a... Like a Green Arrow action figure, but like, if there was something for Arrow, I mean. Anyways, but if there's any merchandise that you particularly are using, I'm a huge fan of mugs, and I can never seem to find. I love superhero mugs. So, anyways, if you have something really great, totally post it on the Facebook page, and I'll like look that up or email us or something.
Yeah, anyways, there might be. We might have a good excuse in the future for people to do something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. But we're going to have a lot of Quiver stuff for you guys to choose from.
Don't worry, there's merch coming.
I'll just say, my plan is to set something up on Society 6, which is a really cool site.
So hopefully.
That once the designs are up there, you can choose from all sorts of different things, like t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, iPhone cases, iPad cases. They even have pillows.
Nice!
So you can get a pillow with just... A nice green pillow with scoff in brackets on it.
That'd be great.
Or something
it's
with
like
Thea's
pants.
It's like
I'm sleeping on Paul Blackmore's face.
We should do one that's just like flesh colored and then just chest hair all over it.
Ew. Too far, Mike. Too far.
No.
Okay,
I don't think
more
so.
Emails.
This isn't an email. This one's news.
Oh, nice.
This is a bit of news. Robert Knepper, best known for his roles on, as Teabag on Prison Break, and Billy Grimm in the short-lived Cult, has been cast on CW's Arrow as William Tockman, also known as Clock King. So Clock King is a Silver Age supervillain. Actually, this is one of... and we've gotten Vertigo, who's one of Oliver's nemeses. But Clock King is actually one of his classic ones. Like, one is sort of like one of his staple of bad guys. So really cool that he's being introduced. Some people might recognize Clock King from Batman Brave and the Bold. He was in a couple episodes of that. Almost always when Green Arrow would show up on that. Voiced by James Arnold Taylor. Nice. Who maybe one day we'll get to come on and talk. Because I some connections with James Arnold Taylor from Frontlines. Because he's Obi-Wan. Cool. So,
oh, nice.
So maybe we'll get to talk to him about being Green Arrow at one point. Cool. So Clock King. It's kind of interesting. I'm interested to see how they're going to pull that off. Because traditionally Clock King wears a mask that is the face of a clock. Like an alarm clock. With a crown on it, and like, and like a cape, like a regal cool. king's cape with like the fur and the all that stuff. But obviously, we'll get an Arrow twist.
Mm-hmm.
We got Solomon Grundy this week. I mean, and it was not the Solomon Grundy from the comics. We'll see how they pull it off.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be cool. I think introducing some more of Oliver's rogues gallery will be a cool thing, because it feels like they've been kind of relying on the Batman DC universe, like the larger,
because now Arrow is a thing that we can go through and be like, this is now his own universe, and Ollie we care about, and those characters. And nobody wrote in about Tommy. Did nobody write in about Tommy?
You guys, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in the episode.
Let's go through and what this episode. It's good. It's an end of season finale series.
Mid-season.
We've got like a long time before another episode.
Yeah, January 15th before we'll be back.
So let's watch this again and talk about it.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Okay, we are starting the episode
We're going to dive right in. Because there's a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Because I'm always worried about ghost episodes in shows. Especially when it's like out of, I don't know. There's a thing where it's sci-fi, but it's like out of genre.
Arrow will disappoint me the second that they do the episode where he gets injected with something and he wakes up in a psychiatric facility.
Really, and he thinks he's crazy and that he's been crazy the whole time. Yeah.
Buffy did it, and then Smallville aped it, and I hate that trope.
It's a weird trope.
But hopefully they never do
it. I thought they might have been going that way on here in this episode.
One?
Yeah, that they were like, he's hallucinating, but not actually. But anyways. Pretty good, right? So this previously on stuff, a lot happened last week, I guess, really setting up the miracle or whatever it is, and the stakes that were set up. So Ollie got tossed. That was that superhero toss, right?
Yeah, and we get a little bit more superhero action
we
in
do,
this episode.
This episode was all about superheroes. Like, we now have them, which is just so cool. Like, it's just such a great way to transition.
You know what's going to be worse than the wait until January 15th?
What?
Is the wait for the Flash.
Oh, that is...
Because, like, they leave us with that.
And you're like...
And then, he gets the lightning. I mean, we're kind of jumping ahead.
But
the sort of flash of lightning on the side of his face.
Like,
And then, like, we have to wait. They have to shoot... They still have to shoot the pilot.
Wow.
And then it has to get picked up to series. It'll be next September.
Are you serious?
Anything. Well, it'll be Comic-Con before we see anything, but it'll be next September before the show starts.
So. So, anyways, we're explaining here, sort of talked totally over it, but now we have Barry going to find the rat poison, which I thought was super random. But then I guess, so he has science background and is going to save Ollie. And it's just like it made his blood thick, so it wasn't actually like a poison they're counteracting.
It was a coagulant.
Right.
So like it's a blood coagulator.
Right. So
if somebody had thin blood, they would use it on them in order to thicken the blood up.
Okay.
But since Oliver's blood's fine, he gets the coagulant and it'll give you a stroke, right? Like you get a blood clot,
go to your brain, and
you have a stroke.
Okay.
So yeah, he thins his blood out, but
and so here's our first ghost.
Yeah.
Which is... Oh, man, this episode actually was really interesting for the shadow development. So we have that she's dead.
I think more interesting on the second view now. Now that we know what
happens. Now that we know what's happening. Which is great. And this, I was wondering what was happening. So this is super smart. Like, he's a super smart guy, Barry Allen. And this is great that he's just like... This, it was a funny, and all the things where they're on camera together, I think, was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
So,
I said to you right when the sting happens, right when the Arrow logo comes up, it looks like we've transitioned back into Arrow territory.
Yeah.
We're no longer the Felicity and Barry Allen show with a side of Arrow.
Yeah.
It's Oliver's show, and Barry just happens to be guest starring on it.
Which is interesting. It sort of works. This is like he's getting genuinely. I don't think he's gotten really mad at her before, which I think was an interesting character development for this episode. I kind of really liked the development of their characters in a way.
I did. There was a lot of thought in it.
Yeah. This best moment. He's kidding.
Yeah. She just like yells it.
Yeah.
So great. But I was going somewhere with that. No, it's okay. I've just been derailed now, and it's hard to pick it back up.
I don't
talk about something.
I don't remember what you were going to say. I'm watching Barry Allen being awesome and cute in the middle of this, like when he's like Mr. Queen. I don't know. I really enjoyed them on this episode. Like the character development between Ollie and Felicity and Barry, it was different than last week, and I think that was it's getting back to Arrow territory. Like I can tell that Barry. Last week it was a Barry episode, and this week it's now a Barry facilitating the characters that are going to exist on Arrow to be back into their own world, which is an interesting use of that character, like a really good use of that character in how he's working. So here we have Barry's going to help out by finding out who was, I think, the fingerprint of who grabbed Ollie.
Yeah.
Which is it's kind of interesting. He knew exactly where the guy grabbed him, but anyways.
I think there's like bruising or whatever. He could see it. It was a little bit CSI-ish, and I hope that the Flash show doesn't go too... I mean, he is a crime scene investigator.
Yeah.
But I just hope that they don't shove it down your throat too much.
Yeah.
But I like this. I like this reference. There's two references to last year's Christmassy episode.
That's true.
If you remember, they had the party, and then that was the first time that we got the Dark Archer. It wasn't the first time that we saw him. But it was the first time that Oliver had the showdown with him, right? Because he ends up in the hospital.
Right. Yeah, because that was the big thing. Right? I remember. And then they set up the next thing. So this is kind of... That was our only Moira moment, which is kind of good, being a mom. I kind of like the episode where she's a mom.
One of my favorite parts of this episode, one of my favorite moments, was when Oliver walks in and he goes, "It's Christmas." Like, so much has been happening.
Yeah.
He's been so busy that he didn't even realize.
Yeah. This I was not expecting. I forgot about Roy getting shot last week. Like, it wasn't really a thing. And this face... Oh, see, he just does such a good job of being, like, the funny Arrow. Like, I really like that when he gets to be sort of commenting on the things that he does. Anyways, so really gross. He hasn't taken it out. Anyways. So something that you were saying about these three characters that I'm actually really liking...
Actually, I didn't say it. I was referencing a post on the Facebook group these guys are kind of like a little Scooby gang.
Yeah.
Right? That, like, good, the three of them have kind of become their own. They're the B team now.
Yeah,
right?
Like, which is great. I really like it.
And they've got these really cool B storylines with it that tie back into the main story.
And they're entertaining, and they let me like Thea a little bit. And I just feel like this is the worst thing he could have done, is pulled up. The First Aid 101 is that you don't move, like, punctured things. I don't know. That's, like, the only thing I retained from... By the way, can I just say how much I love that there's only the one side of this conversation with Diggle?
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, great. Because it just allows you
Like, Roy's been shot by an arrow. Or with an arrow.
Yeah. Anyways. I think it's kind of interesting, and I like Ollie playing on this. And it also gets you back at the, like, what's his relationship with Roy? How does he feel about Roy?
Yeah.
And I think that we're slowly getting that as well, in an emotional place, and then obviously in a physical place near the end of the, that he knows his relationship with Roy is probably going to change by the end of this episode, right? In a few ways.
I was surprised that Roy didn't see him. I thought because he pulls back the hood, right. and Roy starts to come around.
Right.
That I was really hoping that he was going to see him and that it was going to be out. Right, but
and something I liked too at the beginning of this that they called him her. He called Thea Speedy too. That's just like another element to adding the like secondary characters that they're like going to keep pursuing stuff, which is kind of cool.
It's cool because Sin is a character from the comics as well. And I like that what they've done is they've essentially taken the three of them and made them into one sidekick.
Which is cool.
It's very clever. It's a cool way of twisting that so that they don't just... So that we're not dissatisfied that he's not... he's not Speedy or Arsenal or Red Arrow or whatever.
Which is great. That is a great way to deal with it. So this is an interesting element to this ghost thing that he can touch her. I was confused by this trope throughout the episode. Like, it's very odd when you bring in sort of a device. But I kind of like it that the three of them are telling them different things, aren't they? Like, I'm I don't know, confused by that. Is she saying that, like, this was because in the end I get what Tommy tells him, but what is she telling him to do?
I think that the point of that is that it's the conflict, right? Like that there's a conflict inside of him.
Right. About what
Shadow shows up and tells him stop fighting.
Right.
Slade shows up
and
fights him.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, and shows him that he's weak. Right. That he's incapable of fighting.
Comes and
tells
then
Tommy
him to
shows
you.
Up and says, "Don't listen to those other parts of you." Get up and fight. Do what you're
but
supposed
like,
to
do. But, like,
do it you're
in, like, a good way. Like, in a, like, don't just fight, but be a hero. Which I
think
is
it was a,
right?
it was
the
a,
difference.
Like, for me, symbolically, that is the moment that this series changes.
Oh,
that this universe that they set, right? Because whether this is part of the cinematic universe or part of the just the TV universe this and Flash, that moment is the moment when this universe switches over from the Batman Begins vigilante stuff into now we're into superhero time, right? Like now Oliver has come to the realization that he's a hero and he's going to become the Green Arrow now.
Yeah.
Like actively, not just sort of like I need to become something different. Now he knows what he needs to be.
So great.
Right? Or you could even say that he is that now, right? He is the hero now. He realizes it.
We talked over a little bit about this island setup, and I'm just gonna say that this show, my goodness, I think he's doing it right now. He's saying, "What are you talking about?" And he kneels them both down here. And you saw Shadow first as the ghost. And I'm like, oh, this is what the writers want us to think, that she's going to die here because we know that Sarah doesn't die. And I'm like, but they wouldn't do that to us. Because I try to outthink them and you just can't.
But this is one of the things that I love about the show is that I think they have those conversations too.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
sit there and they go, okay, if we do X, Y, Z, they know Sarah lives. They know Sarah's not going to die. They also know that Oliver thinks Sarah is dead.
Right.
Right? Because when she showed up, he went,
that's true.
I thought you're supposed to be, like, aren't you dead? And, you know, so he was surprised when she came back.
Right.
We're just fast forwarding through commercials. They played with that.
That's true.
And then, but then sort of seeing the ghost of Shadow, like, you go, okay, I think she's going to die.
Yeah.
And they know that. They know that we're sitting here trying to second guess it.
Figure out who's going
to
die.
And so what do? Sometimes you just go straight through, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't take the turn. You just go straight through. And that's what...
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so great. Finishing off some of these. I should be watching Rain. I'm not. Apparently, it's good.
Is it good?
I don't know.
It doesn't look good to me. So we're back now.
This is an awesome. I love Barry. Like, he's just such a cool character that he, like, and
he's got
this,
the innocence, right?
I do like it. And the, like, that he sort of is going through and excited about what it is that they're doing, but, like, genuinely understands.
Barry Allen and Wally West have both been referred to within the scheme of the Justice League as, like, the heart. They're the ones that kind of keep the happiness in there. Because when you got Batman, it's a lot of work. Superman can't do it by himself.
This is kind of funny that he's like the hallucinating thing. He says, "Are you sweating excessively?"
Yeah.
Anyways, so this Olicity moment, if you will, where she is the first time she's hearing about Shadow, I guess, hey?
Yeah.
So, Fantasy Island joke. This is a great one-shot, actually. I just noticed this, them going in and out of frame. All one-shot. That's fabulous, actually.
I love this, that he goes, the jungle, you trained in a jungle environment, yeah. Hence the green.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's been trying to figure out...
like what it is, and he was right, yeah, right?
He's trying to solve the mystery of the Green Arrow. Yeah. So so great. This, they manage in about four lines to call into question the grease paint and the no mask.
Yeah.
And then also simultaneously, like, Oliver turns around and goes, a mask would impede my vision. Like, yeah. I need to be able to aim. Find me a mask that allows me to do that.
Well,
and it's like,
yes, so, the right person,
like the reason why he chose the grease paint, like there's a justification for it, which I'm sure has been there since the beginning, but they finally bring it up to sort of answer those questions. I love that, just how deft the writers are, that they can do that. It's so good. It's just such great writing.
Mm-hmm. And here we have Ollie going as backup, which I kind of like that I think he can see that it's a team, which I like.
Yeah.
So
they're going after they pulled the fingerprints, and now they're going to go to the guy's apartment. Now we get, there's more of this Alderman and Laurel with Blood and Laurel
interesting. I don't know why I use the word interesting. It's not super interesting.
It is interesting in that sooner or later she's going to get pulled into other stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So depending on how they handle that.
Yeah.
I don't like that her story from the first quarter of the season, I guess, has kind of disappeared.
Gone away, yeah.
Her whole nervous breakdown thing.
I think they keep trying to use her in different ways, and they're trying to figure out what it is that's going to work right now. Because right now she was more of a, like, a tool in this episode than she was, like, an actual, like... Mind you, like, in relation to, like, Detective Lance, it was important, but... Anyways, they just, I don't know, I'll hold on for a little bit with what they're doing with Laurel, but... I think I said this last week, I think she just needs to go away for a little bit, because I don't think her character is fully being realized right now. Which is upsetting me, because I think that there's a lot of potential. So is that a book about Solomon Grundy? Is that why he says that?
Like, yeah.
It's okay.
Open.
So, that's weird that you just leave the book there. So, like, I don't know. Anyway, so lots of guns going off. This episode, this is why they teased the, like, who is going to die thing, I think, at the beginning. Because they really wanted us to go through and be, like, questioning absolutely everybody that, like, gets into danger in this episode. So, that was really good marketing on their half. In terms of, like, marketing / storytelling. This is a great stunt, whatever this is. The, like, getting off of the... is that... That's not actually him, hey?
Well, if
he would have got up from behind the thing.
Yeah. That's
smart.
A really easy cheat.
Look at that cheat. That's good. That's what it is. Anyways, Felicity called for backup. That was a cool moment, because then you're like, oh, this backup.
Yeah, for a second it's like, who are you calling,
like,
for backup?
What do you mean?
They're right across the street from BC Place.
Yeah. Which is a beautiful... I actually went... This is a gorgeous rooftop. This, like, this is our big... Is that where the Canucks play?
No.
Or is
that's where the BC Lions and the Whitecaps play.
Football.
Yeah.
It's good. Anyways, it's a gorgeous stadium. It's like a really important part of downtown's, like, landscape. So I thought it was really cool that they were shooting there.
The upside down crab what people call it sometimes now, because they added on the retracting roof. This is interesting because he's bringing in Detective Lance. And it feels like it was a bad idea from the get-go, but Oliver is kind of... he's compromised.
Right.
Because, like, there, he's seeing Slade, right? So,
Which, like, was that... I don't know if everybody else went... because they set him up like he's real, which is really interesting. Anyway, so, yeah, but it's this good thing that he is trusting Detective Lance. And look at this awesome, like, maneuver to just run down that building. How cool. And I like that this is the same building, because that's the same... Anyways, it's very cool.
Yeah.
And just reeling from that revelation.
It's so interesting with knowing the reveal, watching it the second time.
Yeah.
And knowing that Slade is alive.
Yeah.
And he is there.
It's so crazy.
And, man.
And I thought they were going to drag this on until the end of the thing, or something else was going to happen, but nope. Straight up, just like... One of them dies, and here he... I don't know. He sort Sarah. Of led to go there, and then she's smart. Shadow's smart. She knows exactly what's going to happen. She's I don't know that. I did not expect. She just straight up
yeah.
got shot.
I get it. I understand Oliver's choice in there. It just got some commercials now.
Yeah.
I understand the choice that he makes there because I think he feels responsible for Sarah.
Oh.
Because he is.
That's true.
To a certain degree, right? I mean, like, he's not really responsible because he didn't know any of that was going to happen.
Of course. But like,
he brought her. She wouldn't be there if it wasn't for him.
Yeah.
So.
Which makes a lot of sense. And I think, I mean, I don't know, I personally feel his relationship with Shadow is forced. It's like you're on an island with, like, one girl. Like,
yes.
I don't know.
A little bit.
It's
going to
be more or less how that works out. But, so anyways, but I guess she's gone now, which is crazy. Well, or as we see this, you know, for now. And you never know. But,
yeah, well, we thought the same thing about Malcolm, right?
Yeah.
That's what I said to you, is that, like, even after she was shot, I wasn't sure, because...
Yeah. And then we start again with at the house and opening the door to Laurel, which I kind of think is interesting, his reaction here, where he just... Because he hasn't really seen her in a long time, right?
Yeah.
And just thinks that... And he's like, oh, you came here? He's, I don't know, really good at the, like, genuineness and the beats and anything, so... It's kind of a... It's kind of cool. There are some nice moments between the two of them still. And talking about the underplaying Christmas. I kind of like that this wasn't like a Christmas episode shoved down our face, even though it was like sort of about ghosts. It's not like a super Christmassy, like past, present, and future. And it's just...
Now that we're watching again
and
on
then,
the
like,
second
they
view,
mentioned about Tommy.
The mention of
oh,
Tommy.
Oh, man.
They set
That's,
it up, right?
Oh, they set it up. Come on, you guys. So good.
I love this. I love this. Because this really feels to me like this, like a Scooby Gang moment.
Yeah,
like,
where they're just like sitting on the couch and you know what? I'd be
That's like, Thea's bedroom.
Yeah.
That kills me.
I know, right?
That's like my living room.
Yeah, I know, right? But doesn't even have a fireplace. Like
Yeah, no, I don't have a fireplace in here.
Oh.
Yeah, she has a fireplace in her bedroom.
Like it's pretty gorgeous. So anyways, so what they're saying is that they were doing psych tests and this is like the not an okay thing, is that sort of what they're saying? That, like, if they want to find more to go
it's
find
a little bit tests. Weird, yeah. It's a little odd. It's kind of a red flag,
right? So this is kind of cool that he doesn't say what he's doing, but we were like, you're making a mask, we can tell, because, you know, it's smart. So this, I still have, like, a hard time with Elicity stuff, but this episode dealt with it well and sort of, I guess, kind of nice in how Barry is talking about Ollie to Felicity. I just I don't know, I have a problem with like unbalanced relationships. I don't think that they're as interesting as they could be. Anyways, I don't know.
I think it's good because it's allowing for that little bit of the romance thing to be in the show. But for it not to be a focal point.
Yeah, that's right? True, actually.
Because I think if it was with... If something was going on with Laurel and
Oliver...
That
it would be, like, a thing about the romance.
Like it was last season, right?
That's
where,
true,
like, it
that's
had to
true.
Be, like, this important thing happening.
That's true.
But this way, I think what we get is hints of it, but we don't have to waste any time with a...
Right.
With a love story in the middle of a crisis in the city, right?
So this, again, throwing us through a loop where we're like, maybe he won't get back in time to see the particle accelerator. Yeah.
Well, and after like they started talking about it, just sort of behind the scenes, people started talking about, oh, well, they're gonna do the pilot and he'll get his powers in the pilot. So I was sitting here going like, oh, he's not gonna they were leading up to the particle accelerator thing because he was supposed to get his powers in this episode.
Maybe they won't,
and then
the pilot
become the Flash. But they're going to do it in the pilot, they wrote around it or whatever, but...
Can I just say how beautiful this is? This right now, this it's setting up the heartbreaking moment for Detective Lance. I think they did this quite well here. Because I wasn't really invested in this detective guy, like whoever this guy is. But you have that moment where Detective Lance is the reason that he came out and doesn't get to see his daughter anymore. And you can just tell that that's going to play on him next, I want to say semester, but like this latter half of the season, right?
Yeah.
Like you can really find that, which is good. And again, one of the reasons I like Detective Lance's character is those multiple layers.
Well, that montage at the end as Slade is talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And Detective Lance is looking at his badge, and I think he's thinking, I can't do it anymore, right?
So this is kind of interesting, letting my menorah, subtle character.
I think they mentioned last season around the Christmas that episode she that she was Jewish as well.
I don't pay attention.
I recall something.
Interesting. So they're going to watch the countdown to when it turns on at Big Belly Burger. I don't know, they're spending, like, a lot of time at the part of the accelerator, I guess. But also not. I wonder what they were doing here. Like, I was like, why is he leaving, and what is he going to do? Just, like... And then I forgot.
Oh, I saw this coming. I expected... Yeah, well, because he walks in with the tennis ball, right?
Well, I knew he was going to shoot some stuff. I just didn't know that he was going to shoot...
Well, I saw... I figured he was going to miss it, and and that he was going to, like, be off, and then somebody would, a ghost would come to him and say something, but then we get the ghost who catches the arrow, which is weird.
Playing with my brain that, like, he's, like, having really powerful hallucinations that could catch his arrows. Anyways. So, kind of interesting that the action, actually, in this episode is not necessarily all the action. It's, like...
There's a lot of other stuff going on.
Action, so...
That dude gets a like circular saw to the back.
Yeah, that's a little intense.
Yeah.
And so this is Grundy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just throwing people around. This is our first like superhero versus like people fight that we've had, right? We hadn't really
super villain.
Sorry, super powered person. Sorry to be discriminatory against villains and heroes. Super powered person. Anyways. Multiple people die in this episode, I guess, hey?
Not a lot of people make it out.
Yeah.
The fact that Detective Lance managed to survive this.
And see this, I didn't see that he grabbed the key earlier, which I guess is good. I forget what it is at the end, we'll probably get it, but I'm curious as to how Detective Lance, after being admitted to the hospital, still had the key, but that's just me going through. So here, this is what he was trying to do with Diggle. So you can see this coming, and then you're like, wait, of course that guy's going to die, because they had the whole moment with the daughter. And it's sad. Anyways, so this hallucination is really vivid. I don't know, I had struggled with this.
It is interesting how they're playing with it, and how he's there, but he's not there, and he's affecting the environment. I'm gonna watch it closely this time to see, because I think he goes through one of those glass cases. He's got the glass case with the costume, and then he's got the glass case with the arrows.
I'm pretty sure it's the one with the costume, because there was a body lying down, and I was like, why is the body? And I'm like, it's the... Anyways, but I can see this. So this is setting up that... he thinks he's dead as well. Like, he saw dead people for the other two, like Shido and Tommy. So I get maybe what we're supposed to say or think, I guess, is that he may have been dead as well, right?
I don't think that's necessarily, because like that wouldn't be we wouldn't be getting other storylines if that were the case, right?
I guess on the island, hey? All right. Yeah. Anyways, I guess he is the one that is going through the things the most. It's not... Maybe he's just beating himself up.
I think that's the thing. It's just that, like... Yeah, like, it's just... He's fighting something that's not there.
Right.
But I don't know. It's interesting how they staged it, because it is very physical with Manu Bennett.
Yeah.
And Stephen Amell.
I guess it is him. Yeah, it is him doing... He did it to himself. So maybe he just, like... hallucinated and
really at the end of it, the only thing he really affects is the case, right?
True.
So
that's true.
More commercials.
Anyways, so there's interesting things there, and what he was talking there is about the island didn't make him strong, it made him weak. I think that's an interesting point. I don't know, I didn't pay that much attention, I guess, to what the ghosts were telling him before, except for the fact that they were sort of like breaking him down a little bit.
I did this last time too. I thought that this Santa Claus and the walking along the water was
still commercial.
So we're back here with Santa.
Santa ringing the bell. Yeah. Selling milk? What is that? I don't know. Anyways.
They're just over at Granville Island.
This isn't actually on the island. This is the seawall, I think.
Yeah, it was the seawall.
I like that bridge. I go under that every day. It's beautiful. And it's beautiful in theory, though. Where is this? I'm just... Anyways.
Maybe they're on the other side of that.
I think they are, actually. I don't think they're on Granville Island. Anyways, so we have the phone call that we can obviously tell it's Detective Lance. Something has happened to him and he's in the ICU. So Laura, again, being utilized to tie a few things together, I think, rather than having her own ideas, right? So, like, I'm curious. I don't know. I guess there's going
to
be payoff.
I think they're just trying to keep that through line of the relationship with her and Blood.
They really are.
Because I think it's going to be pay important. Off.
Yeah, and I think actually that Slade would be using that, right?
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting to see. So right now here,
actually, now that you say that now it becomes
Slade,
interesting.
Yeah,
right?
It's Slade utilizing.
Yeah, I think that Slade is definitely pulling the strings behind that.
Yeah, which could be interesting. Poor Detective Lance in the hospital. Sad. Oh well, he's fine though. So don't worry about it. Nobody panic. He did not die. I'm okay with it. I would have been really upset if he had died. I think we knew that he wasn't going to die though. Because we saw him beat up in the trailer.
And I believe that he tweeted this evening that they were shooting something. So.
Oh, right. So we knew he was... Yeah. That's sort of funny. You know, break the fourth wall a little bit. And we're like, we can tell you're not going to die.
On that note, I mean, Tommy shows up in this episode.
Yeah, fair enough.
Blew my mind. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We'll talk about it when we get there, obviously. But.
So this here, you're getting this beautiful moment where it's sinking in that he had to deal with the daughter that won't get her dad for Christmas. It's just like those beautiful moments, I think, with Detective Lance. This is one of the reasons why I like his character, I think. Just because they do a lot with him.
I didn't notice that the first time around. There's Daly, and he's got a broken arm. Mm-hmm. So they had to do something. You know, everybody else died. Detective Lance got put in the ICU.
Yeah.
And Daly just has a broken arm.
Yeah.
Which is their cover for him.
Yeah, which is
not
good.
Being.
I like smart supervillains.
There we go.
That's good. Oh, I didn't. I missed that sort of eye contact before.
Yeah, I missed it the first time.
Interesting.
I think we were talking about Detective Lance. Always watch it twice.
So this is cool that Ollie goes to visit him. I guess it makes sense that Ollie put him. Oh, I get this now. That Ollie went because he felt guilty because he sent Detective.
He's the one who put him in danger.
Right. Right. I like this building between the two of them, because I think it's going to set up it really nice, like, I think when Detective Lance finally finds out that it's Ollie.
Yeah. I like that. That a year ago, Detective Lance was trying to hunt him down.
Yeah.
And now he's saying,
it's not your fault.
You know, not every death in the city is your fault, right? Like, he realizes... Like, this is the thing. I think Detective Lance was one of the first ones to recognize that Oliver is a hero.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, actually.
Which is really interesting.
And that's the interesting dynamic of that character.
Well, Oliver hasn't recognized it in himself yet.
Yeah. I really like that Felicity and Barry are in the back of this shot. I was just noticing it while it was... Like, I remember it being a thing. It just makes the world really diverse and that we can see, like, all this stuff happening. Like, this is just sort of an interesting thing that it's not really about them at all. But it's nice to have them in the space, and it really sets up that he's part of, like, a group of people. I don't know, I really love that about this show, that they just always...
That
like,
it's an ensemble.
World,
that is, that it's not just a one-man show.
Yeah.
Which is, I think the writers deserve so much credit for crafting that, because traditionally Green Arrow...
Is a
solo act, right? Yeah. I mean, and then he gets his version of the Boy Wonder with Speedy, and then eventually later on teams up with Green Lantern, teams up with Black Canary.
Yeah.
But he's always been kind of a loner, and they've made him into a loner with a team, which I think is really cool.
Really cool.
But Diggles just kind of explains to him that after he came back from Afghanistan, that they're, you know, like, he had to deal with stuff. You have survivor guilt, there's a bit of shell shock in there, all sorts of stuff, right?
Yeah. It's just a really nice dynamic sort of thing that you go from that emotional moment to the, like, let's go practically kill this person now. So, right? It's sort of like a really rich, I don't know, scene, so that's good. Well, that's kind of like a nice setup moment between the two of them. I don't pay attention, I guess, to these as much as other people pay attention to. I guess I just never pay attention to their chemistry.
They have an important relationship, and
I think more than that,
they do have so much chemistry.
Yeah, I guess I just don't pay attention to it.
If I were Katie Cassidy, I would just rue the day that Emily Pett Rickard showed
came
up
on set, because, and you're like, oh,
because I think that it changed the course of
Holly's character,
of, yeah, of where that was going.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think you're right. Actually, that's very true. So this is kind of cool that they've got these so file that's the Mirku. So Roy really onto something here then with obviously with Max. And this is, you were saying, this is the scene that they showed the special clip of from before.
Yeah, they showed
Roy gets all the, like, special clip things.
He does, he does. Because like, he's often, because I find that Roy gets himself in over his head almost every episode. Time, yeah. I like the change, because if not for Roy, I feel like they'd be doing this with Felicity.
That's actually really true.
The fact that they do it with Roy.
Oh, that's great.
It's nice,
yeah.
Because it's different from Smallville, where Smallville it was either
Lois.
It's either Chloe, Lana, or Lois that was constantly getting themselves into trouble.
Yeah.
More commercials.
So it's kind of good that yeah, I kind of like it. And it makes sense that Roy is the character that would be putting himself in those situations,
yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. Well, it's building up to something, which I think is the best part of it.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
The fact that they can use these characters to fill in these tropes,
mm-hmm.
but also have those tropes feed stories later in the series. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that they do the best.
Yeah. Which is really awesome.
A lot of commercial breaks.
There's like a lot, yeah.
There was that one of them was really short, right? That one with the blood rush.
Yeah, that's true.
Was really short. I think it was like one.
Which we have to go online to see all the blood rush stuff. I haven't watched all of that stuff yet, but I will eventually. Anyway, so we start back with Roy being captured here, and that
he's going to get injectinated with some kryptonite. Injectinated? Did I say injected?
You did say injectinated. Yeah.
I was saying injected and kryptonite at the same time.
Look at his muscles. That's lovely. Thanks for that. There wasn't a lot of people with other shirt on this week, so they needed a half naked.
Ollie had his shirt partially off.
Partially off. Anyways. I thought that... I didn't think he was actually... I thought they were like, he's going to stick a bit in and then he's going to get saved right away. But I didn't realize that he legitimately, like, doesn't get saved in time. Like, that's the cool thing about breaking the trope. It's like just after he gets injected, right?
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
And we've already seen Slade die from it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get that awesome moment and we find out it was a gift. So this is I think this is one of the first times that we, I don't know, I thought he was like a bigger bad than, like, I didn't necessarily realize that it was part of like a big thing.
Oh, I think that we were supposed to, though. We were supposed to think that he was the top of
that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we were supposed to think that until this episode.
Yeah, so this is the first time that we have that idea that it was a gift from someone. And then, and this is the moment where we see that Roy has failed, and then he just feels like he's failed and goes down. And this moment, come on, we both, at the same time.
We both, like, gasped and then said, oh my God. At the exact same time, because we both lost it.
I started crying a little bit. Yeah, I miss Tommy. Like, I genuinely miss Tommy.
It killed me to have him back. And not just have him back, but have, like, him make this awesome
beautiful
speech
moment,
and yet just, it did make me miss him, and it did make me go like that. It's a shame.
Yeah,
I mean, like, at the same time, how much did that story do for Oliver?
I know,
for this season?
But, like, I would have never thought they would have brought Tommy back for this. Yeah. It's an episode called Three Ghosts. Who are the ghosts that we have? Tommy. Like, why didn't I think of that? Like, it's so brilliant. Oh, this show.
I thought maybe it would be his dad. Maybe
or something.
It would
be... Yeah, like, who knows?
You
but
know, like, somebody that we
I
don't know yet.
I did not
right?
think
like,
that it would be Tommy. Yeah. So anyways, very, very interesting. That maybe it would be, like, Merlin, who's, like, not actually a ghost or something. I don't know. I didn't know what it was. But anyways, so the centrifuge actually being destroyed here.
And the dude getting sprayed with stuff. I'm just going to say it right now. No, he's not Two-Face. It's just gore.
Anyways, and
that
then,
guy's dead. Like, I don't, that guy's coming back.
Okay. And so Roy here, he's gonna fight to save Roy. I thought he was gonna take him somewhere, but no, he's just gonna totally just give him CPR, which is, although not full CPR, it would have been nice.
Anyway, well, chest compressions.
Chest
compressions.
It's good. And this is sort of, I don't know. It's good. I think he has hope in Roy, which is, this is the moment that he's like, I think he sees something and... Oh, did Roy see him? Don't see him. Oh, because he can't remember things. Put your mask back on. See, this is why you need a mask. I know he's, like, unconscious, but still. Like,
It's fine. He didn't see it. I was hoping that he was going to see
it. Yeah, Ollie. Wake up and recognize that it was Ollie. But
and they were gonna, and he was going to be like, okay, I guess I better get you a red hood.
Yeah. Eventually. It's coming. We can tell that it's coming. Well,
Oliver's comment later that they're going to have to keep an eye on him, I think.
Yeah, it's important. I want to see some more identity revelations next half. Yeah,
I think we end the season with so Roy much. Putting on a costume.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that I think.
And so we have Roy it. Back. Sophia coming in. So Roy's gotten put in Thea's bed, I guess. So he brought Roy back, yeah. And not remembering anything, I guess.
Yeah. No, I see Roy.
End of the season. It'll be like three episodes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because every time I've said that, it's like within two episodes. Yeah.
Oh, which is just so great because then they just, it's like, no, you thought that was going to be the end of it? Just kidding, Barry Allen, season three. Like, you're like, what? Anyways, so we have Sebastian Blood. This is the first time he's actually, I don't know, we're getting a lot of the coverage of him running for...
Well, he's announcing it, as it says, announcing that he's going to run for mayor.
This is kind of like a cool moment, and then you are like...
I love that this is just like...
Man with New Zealand accent. I love that that's the...
Because we know it's Manu Bennett. We hear his voice, and it's so recognizable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just agonizing the whole time that it's like they're just showing us the back of his head.
But we know
what does he look like?
Yeah.
Like, the show is his this mouth.
Is so great. Oh. His hand looks, like, huge.
Like meaty.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's got some meat he is threatening. Yeah. Anyways, this
it's
is
a bear
this
claw
is cool.
of a hand.
So he's a new person that we're like, oh, who's this new... Well, I mean, we sort of know, right?
No, I think they did like, this intentionally that, yeah. like, they know
no,
that
we know. Yeah, but this is the reveal.
So that they... Because this reveal is so much better than just... having him be silent and then showing it.
Yeah.
Because we agonized over it for the full, like, however long that was.
Yeah, I'm really like,
well, it felt so much longer the first time around.
And this is beautiful. Look at this voiceover and this end beat. Like,
this monologue is
so
great.
And all of the different moments with all of the different people. I really like episodes that do this or shows. So we have Roy who's fixed now.
His leg has completely healed itself.
So crazy.
He was limping earlier when he stole the stuff.
I love that corrupt those he loves, which is interesting over Felicity. I'm intrigued by that.
We'll see what happens.
Corrupt. It's just it's an interesting drive an arrow through his eye, so that's an interesting right. You're like, okay, well, I'm waiting for that then. And of course, and then we go onto the island and get Slade waking up as a superhero. So amazing. I can't believe they just, like, left him.
Waking up as a supervillain.
Supervillain.
He went from a hero to a supervillain.
Again, I should say a powered person.
No, he's a supervillain.
Superpowered
person. He's a bad guy. I mean, like, that...
Yeah.
We just established that now he's a bad guy.
And we have one of the impetuses, I think, for that right here, which is just...
This is so great. He just owns these guys.
He is...
Snaps his gun like a toy.
Look at that. Oh.
It probably was a toy.
That's... Look at this. He just, like, punched through that dude. Like, what? So, realizing his own strength for the first time, and I think...
Yeah.
And then coming into this craziness. I just want to see, like, where they're going to go from this. It's just a really interesting...
I like this, because I was expecting him to find out that Oliver's responsible and for it to automatically be...
Like, above
adversarial.
Oliver. Yeah, yeah.
But... Sarah steps in and says, oh, we didn't...
Yeah, we didn't
He just
know.
Shot her. We don't know why.
Yeah.
And so, it's gonna... The thing about that is that it's gonna make it...
Yeah.
An actual betrayal later on.
Right.
When Slade finds out that Oliver chose Sarah over Shadow.
Yeah. And that's not... That's Sarah's fault, which is...
Yeah, but Oliver goes along with it. And, you know, like... But it's... It's great because it's like a fast forwarded version of what happened on Smallville with Lex and Clark.
That's
right?
true. So him coming back and you know, tidying up all of the things for the end of this half of the season, I kind of like.
Yeah.
Right. Making sure that Grundy's not going to be a problem anymore. But noticing
well,
that there's a bigger bad, right? Like, who is it that we have to deal
Grundy,
with?
Grundy can come back, because that's Grundy's whole thing, is that
right.
every time he dies, he just comes back. He comes back different, though.
Right. But anyways, this is interesting. So
they're preparing for war.
And little does he know, it's war against him.
Yeah.
Or he might know, but anyways.
But Barry's gone back to Central City. Wanted to check out the particle accelerator.
Which I totally, like, I thought he was just going to go and then they were going to do, like, let's do a pilot later.
Yeah.
But no, look at this. This is so brilliant.
Such a tease.
Like.
Such a tease.
But that he's not going to the Star Labs and you're like, wait.
Look at this awesome set that they've built for him, though. Like, which I think it's just so great because we know that we're going to be visiting this place again.
Yeah.
Because we come in. We get that awesome, the warehouse door, and then the reveal, in a second, the reveal of his board. He's trying to figure out who killed his mother.
Yeah.
And then obviously he's going to get his powers, right? But we're establishing an environment for him as a character.
Yeah.
And this is going to be home base, I think, for the Flash series. Yeah.
And so I thought we were maybe going to end it there, but then they're like, look at all this stuff. And so the particle accelerator is going off and we're like, why isn't he there? And then you were freaking out. You're like, oh my gosh, it's raining. And like, this is what you were talking about last time. Yeah. That one of the ways that he's got his powers is...
They faked us out because last week they showed like the lightning and the chemicals.
Yeah.
And him making the joke. They totally faked us out.
Yeah.
And then...
And we're like, okay, of course it'll be the particle accelerator.
And then like, the particle accelerator. And then I'm thinking like, the particle accelerator is going to go off. And that's what's going to create Professor Zoom. Reverse Flash. And then he's going to get struck by lightning at the same time. And he's going to become the Flash. But then we get this cool, that it explodes. Like, and this wave goes out over the city.
Like, how amazing.
Creating supervillains all over the place. Whoa. I bet you anything. Whoa. If it created a superhero, it's going to create some other superpower beings.
And it just is like, look at this. This is such a cool effect.
I love that. Yeah, like, these so great colorful chemicals.
Like, you can just tell the tone of this is very different. Like, it's very colorful and like, I don't know. There's just like, look at that.
That gold bolt of lightning.
This is just like so beautiful.
All the chemicals.
And look at that.
And then that flash up his temple.
That's just super awesome. Anyways, that's...
It's killing me because that's all we're going to get for a while. But then we get this.
And then we have the mask.
His new mask.
And I love that they're calling him the Arrow.
Even the Arrow deserves a Christmas present.
I like it. And then Felicity will put it on you. Sorry, we're just watching the mask.
It's so good.
And then she's
so good.
Is it when she steps away like a hero, and you're like, look at that reveal. He's now the Arrow. Oh, it's so cool.
Awesome.
So good.
Oh, such a good episode. Such a good. Oh.
And then the next.
The preview for next season.
January.
Next half of the season.
We've got Bled coming back, the Vengeance, and we see Roy with his powers, you know, punching things. So we'll definitely see the progression of that as we go into January, everybody.
And we got Slade is back in the picture. Well, not back in the picture, but he's in the picture in the city.
And I love his, like, that. It's like a really cool Slade. Like, it's so different.
Oh, the look is so good. Because it just... They communicate it so clearly. Like, we've been watching Manu Bennett for the last year and a half. Well, I guess about a year.
Yeah.
On the show, and he's been one character, and he's been this great, charming, kind of, you know, ne'er-do-well type of guy, mercenary, soldier of fortune, which is very in keeping with the comics version of the character. When he had his own title.
Mm-hmm.
But then switch it and we see this new awesome
super villain
version of Slade, which is the one that I think a lot more people are going to be familiar with. The one that is the adversary of the Teen Titans and the Justice League. And I mean, he's just a bad guy now. I mean, Slade's just, he's just one of the better villains in the DC universe. I mean, he was featured in the latest Batman video game. So cool to have him
set that up.
to set that up for the second half of the season. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of him, and that it's going to be awesome and epic and ridiculous. Oliver's got his mask, superpowers now, all over the
and
place.
He's now a hero, which is good.
Yeah.
And that, you, I didn't think about that before, but the particle accelerator, I was only thinking about it in terms of like how it's affecting Barry. But you're right. Like, if that went off over the whole...
washes over the whole
like,
city.
Like, that's going to have repercussions for Arrow's world as well. And I really like that, that element of things. So I'm really looking forward to where it goes.
I just hope that there was somebody on the other side of the city, on the other side of Central City, in a freezer at the time, and that guy's going to become Captain Cold. Because Captain Cold's one of the Flash's bad guys.
Okay.
And he's kind of a joke. Because he wears, like, you know, like how, like, Arctic explorers have, like, those glasses with, like, the little slits?
Yeah.
Like, the little square slits? Captain Cold wears one of those. Mm-hmm. Is, like, everybody's got an ice nemesis at some point. There's Mr. Freeze, Captain Cold, who's the other one?
I don't know. In X-Men, Iceman is like an actual like...
Well, he's a good guy. Yeah, he's but a good guy. No, in the DC universe, there's like four of them. Oh. There's like four or five of them that are all like the same.
It's easy to make Cold into a like frosty...
Yeah, well, they all have they all have ice guns. Right? Yeah. Like, it's all the same thing.
Mwahaha. I will freeze
Mr. Freeze is the best one, obviously. But.
Anyways, I'm interested. We saw last year that it did shift the tone. The mid-season finale really shifted and set up stuff for the second half. And I'm kind of really looking forward to where they're going for this. A world with heroes. And anyways, really looking forward to what they have. Looking forward to a couple weeks off. Although, not really. I mean, we'll have a special episode for everybody. A Merry Christmas episode. Yes. So
maybe even a couple.
Hopefully. Maybe so hopefully we'll give you something to, like, sedate your, like, need for Arrow over the break. Otherwise, we'll be back in January, January 15th.
Yeah.
Last couple days to get your questions in for Stephen Amell. If you have something, a burning question that you really want us to ask him, send it to our email, mail@quiverpodcast.com.
Yeah.
And with the subject line, question for Stephen Amell. And we're gonna go through those before we do our interview with him and pick a few out and... you know, he'll know who you are and who's asking the questions. So that'd be great. So, I mean, and over the break, keep in contact with us. If you're reading awesome comics or seeing awesome things, let us know. And we'll see you back in January. You can also find us on our social media over the break. Join the Quiver group if you haven't already. There's great conversations that are happening in that.
Yeah.
So
Facebook.com/QuiverPodcast.
And then you have to ask.
Quiver Podcast. There's a link. Oh, I need to post a fresh link.
A fresh link, group. Because the group is different than the page. So if you go onto our page, you can also find the link to the group. And the group is you know, conversations with a couple hundred people that are really just talking about.
You can also just search Quiver Podcast on
Facebook and you'll find the group.
It'll come up.
So, so it's really great. And then Twitter @QuiverPodcast. And you can also tweet us individually and have conversations with us. I'm @AKonkin, KAKONKIN.
I'm @ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And there's lots of stuff to talk about over the break. There's lots of speculation. And we just need to keep discussing this episode because so much happened over the last two. So, but I think that just about does it for us for this week. So thank you guys for listening. We will... You'll hear from us soon.
Hear from us shortly.
But that's it. So we'll catch you guys... soon and then after the break.
Yeah. Excellent. Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
Here is Batman the Long Halloween. It's one of the best Batman stories. It's fairly thick. well, read this one, because this is one of the best Batman stories ever written. Green Lantern Rebirth. And then Animal Man and Swamp Thing. I don't know if they're going to be your thing. I don't know if they're going to be your cup of tea. Yeah. But
I still have all your Saga series to read. Like, I have a lot of your comics right now.
Okay, well...
Is that okay?
You have a ton of time.
I do, actually. That's true.
So,
over Christmas break.
This is homework. This is for these people listening right now, because I'm putting this as the tag on the end of the episode. Now you're accountable to them.
I have to...
Okay,
read all of
so these? Listeners,
no.
I want you to write emails in January and ask Amanda what she thought of. You have to read at least Batman: The Long Halloween after what you said about Batman a few weeks ago.
Okay,
and it would be good if you read Green Lantern Rebirth.
Okay, and I'm in the middle of. I've got also Smallville season 11 that I'm reading, and I've got the Green Arrow. I'm almost done that one.
How do you do that?
And
like,
I've got Saga.
Like,
how
do you not just
sit down and read the whole thing?
Yeah.
I do this with books too. My bookshelf is full of like 70 started books, and then I'll find one and I'll go through it all at once, and then I'll go back and reread. Like, I need to read like the first couple pages of something.
I don't get you.
And then I go back and I actually get into it.
I don't get you. And like, granted, I am probably in the middle of like 4 or 5 graphic novels at the moment.
Yeah.
But what happens with me is I have a backlog, right?
Right.
And my backlog is stuff that came out when I wasn't really buying comics.
Why is that name really familiar?
Jeff Loeb wrote a bunch of episodes of Smallville.
Yeah, okay, that's crazy. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. Ooh, this is creepy looking. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Well, it's
I'll read
Tim
the
Sale.
Long
Tim Sale, he does Superman stuff as well. But he's a...
You know what? I think I just don't really understand the medium. Like...
Of comics?
Yeah, because I either, like, need to see it and then my story is told that way, or I read it and tell it myself. So this is, like, a weird... It plays with my brain in a way that's weird. I don't know.
It's not for everybody.
I kind of, like... But the thing is, I genuinely, like, I went through the whole Fables thing. I really liked that. But then it got, like, a little slower and I've stopped... I haven't read the latest ones. And then what the heck is it called? The one about the young kids.
Runaways.
I really enjoyed the first one, and then I was like, now this is a completely different story. And then I started
Brian K. Vaughan stopped writing the series. He stops writing the series in the volume that Joss Whedon takes it over.
But I
and
no,
Joss
but
Whedon,
I'm like at the beginning though.
How many volumes in are
you? One or two.
Oh, you haven't gotten very far.
No, because...
You have all of them still?
I do, yeah. And I really kind of want to read this... You told me that
you're
the
only
thing.
Person who gets to borrow my comic books.
Oh,
I just want
you
to know that. Like, you're the only person, because I know that I can just go to your house and take them back when I need
them.
That's
true.
Right? Like, I don't lend stuff out. Lending stuff out. But, like, I trust you.
I keep them safe. There's actually a special... I have two places where I keep yours. I have, like, there's, like, a special... Actually, it's in those, like, shelfy weird things that you and Crystal gave me a while ago. Like, a long time ago.
The round ones?
Yeah, the round ones. I have one that sits by my door, and the bag
half
is in it.
Half of your houses
is
are, like
stuff.
Is the stuff that we've grown out of. Like, we're a little too old for these silly round shelves that we really like.
Well, I mean, I don't use them that often. I use it as a laptop stand and stuff. But anyways, I have that box there, and then the other ones that are like in the midst of me reading, I have like a huge stack beside my bed of all the ones that I'm reading, and then I tried to read.
Have you started Saga yet?
I haven't. No,
this is the thing. Because
it's the one that I'm worried about because it looks really like it's not like this book format. It looks like it's actually comic format, and I'm worried about it getting ruined. Cause
don't
it's in
worry,
those nice classic
don't worry
things,
about them
because
they're like third or fourth printings most of them.
Okay, but anyways, I feel like I need to take out of the bag and then like read the whole thing and then put it back in the bag. So that's why I haven't read them yet.
I guarantee you, I guarantee you by the time you get through the second issue, you won't look back. You won't, like, you will just want to sit there and finish them.
Okay.
First thing is that Saga, in any given issue, there's maybe probably about 400 words, right? Like, there's really not a lot.
Okay.
Story-wise, they are very dense, but a lot of it happens on the page. A lot of it is visual.
Okay.
And then the dialogue, because it's Brian K. Vaughan, is quick, snappy, and to the point. It's why I love him as a writer.
Right.
Because the thing that... It's funny, because I talk at length and ridiculously. Which is probably why I don't write anything myself, because I would hate my own writing, other than video game reviews or whatever. But I hate overly explained writing.
Okay.
Like, it's one of the reasons why I'm not enjoying the Hunger Games books as much as the movies.
Okay.
Because it's just, there's just so much of them just, like, explaining everything away. I started Mockingjay today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Interesting. How's it going?
I finished Catching Fire, not yesterday, but the day before.
Nice.
Maybe I finished it yesterday.
Okay.
And I guess I finished it last night. And I wanted to just get right into it. But
okay.
I don't know. I'm only probably 30 or 40 minutes into it. So far, I'm a little bit underwhelmed.
Yeah, Mockingjay is my least favorite book.
I'm a little bit underwhelmed because it's starting so slow.
Yep, it
and
does.
I'm just like, you end with the whole world being turned on its head, and then you want to start with, and then I was really upset for a long time.
Yep.
And it's like, no, you were really upset for a long time last time. Like,
I don't
knock it off, Katniss.
I have a problem with Katniss as a character, and I've talked about this a long time. Like,
I get it. I have a problem with Katniss in the book.
Yeah,
I do have a problem with Katniss in the book. I feel like they'll change a lot in Mockingjay.
Yeah,
already, and I'm like just the small sampling that I have. Like, I can't be more than an hour into it.
Yeah,
but even just that much, I can already tell that where the character started.
Yeah.
In the book and where it started in the movie with Jennifer Lawrence are very similar.
Yeah.
Where they've gotten to by the end of the second movie, I feel like are very different.
Yeah.
In the book, she feels very helpless. Like, she feels like she's always confused.
She is. And this is the thing that drives me bonkers. I really want to talk to you about once you're done.
Yeah.
But I actually think that she's a very weak character. And people talk about her as a strong character.
Well, no. Okay.
And
she has
physical strength.
This is the thing, and this is the Joss Whedon thing, don't just write male characters and give them boobs.
Well, exactly.
But that's not what they did. She's rounded. Like, she has a whole lot of aspects to her.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say she's a weak character.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that this is the thing. Because I think it's Joss Whedon that said it. It was him or some other writer that said, I don't want to see stories about strong women. I want to see stories about women who can kick ass, who can do this, who can do that, who can cry, who can beat the crap out of you. Like, who can do all of these things. And I want to read stories about women who are all of those things, right? Like, that's what I love about Arrow, is that Felicity is well-rounded,
all different things,
right?
Yeah.
That Sarah, especially, even though we've only seen her in how many episodes, really?
Yeah.
Like,
she's still around, man.
She's so well-rounded. She's such an interesting and deep character to explore that when we get the story that we have right now with Laurel, and when we got the Huntress, they're so one-dimensional. It doesn't ring true because so much of the rest of the show is so developed.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that Katniss is a very well-developed character, and I think it's important for the story that she is who she is. That doesn't mean that I like it. Like, I want to just physically reach into the story and grab her and shake her and say, you're not allowed the luxury of this. But in the second book, like, that's the thing, is that the whole time she's going, I want to, because the first book, right? The first book, she's just thinking of herself.
Yeah.
She's doing all the fake stuff with PETA just to save her own skin, right? Just to get the sponsors to send her stuff and all that sort of thing. She gets out, and then the second book is very much her going, having the realization that she's incredibly selfish and deciding to be incredibly selfless.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that the third book, and you can tell me, like, it's not spoilers for me. I'm hoping that in the third book, she'll come to the realization that her selflessness was just another level of selfishness. She wanted to get rid of the guilt. She wanted to, it was a story, I think it was a story that they were reading in church to the Sunday school kids. That really bothered me, because the end of the story was the kid apologizing and then expressing how after apologizing they felt better.
Right.
So and it was like,
about them.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, that's not why you apologize. You apologize because you've hurt someone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you see somebody else in pain that you've caused, you apologize. Right? Whether you have an excuse or whatever, like, it
does. Seen the Vlogbrothers had to apologize.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, yeah. And like, but you just, you apologize.
Yeah.
And that's the important part, because it's not about you, it's about helping the other person. Yeah. Right? But I feel like Katniss in the second book is very much apologizing for her actions in the first book because she feels bad about them and she wants that gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And whether or not she'll deal with that in the third book.
Anyways,
I don't know.
The thing is that I guess it's just like, it's a very interesting, I don't know.
My PlayStation's on. I'm going to turn it off because it's making a lot of
sounds,
noise.
Yeah.
I doubt that will even be picked up.
But still, it's not. Anyways. Oh, God, let's just record. It's hurting my head to talk about the Mockingjay. I just really don't like Mockingjay. It's mostly because the whole series ends and I'm like, oh, humanity sucks. Like, basically, it's like,
I get the feeling that District 13 is no better than the Capitol, right? It, different, but not better, right? Like, is that the...
There's just, like, a lot of things that still happen. District 13 is, like, I forget about it, really, and it's not about District 13. It's about, like...
You can read this one, because it's correcting how wrong I was.
It's super long. Ooh, I like doing that. One of my favorite things. Ooh, and I love people that listen a long time and then don't write in until
they want to correct.
Until they want to correct. Or just people that we, like, never see.
Yeah.